Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Life gets better when we make better choices. The better decisions you make, the better the outcome of your life will be. Someone once said that everything in your life is a reflection of a choice you have made. If you want a different result, make a different choice. I want to speak to you this morning on making better choices in life. Making better choices in life. You know, I think for most people, unfortunately, life is full of frustration. So many people live without a clear sense of direction in life. They go from one relationship to the next, one job to the next. They go from one church to the next. Or people all over the show carrying all sorts of baggage through life, carrying the same baggage year after year after year. People never enjoying the life that God has provided for them. And one of the simple reasons is that people keep making the same mistakes, the same choices over and over again. You know, it's often been said that insanity, the definition of insanity is making the same choices and expecting a different outcome. I don't know if you know, that's no way to live. The outcome of our life is determined by the choices that we make along the way. Someone once said, you can never make the same mistake twice. Because the second time you make it, it is not a mistake, it is a choice. You know, I believe probably the most important thing that we get to do in life is to make right choices. Because everything in life is dependent upon the choices we make. Our well-being, our success, our influence, the outcome of our life, but also where we spend eternity is determined by the choices that we make. You know, I find it interesting that we never taught at school how to make good choices. Isn't that right? You know, we get taught maths and science and chemistry and biology and, you know, all that stuff is useful. But we never get taught leadership at school and we never get taught on how to make good choices. I think so many people would be set up to do life so much better if we were actually taught how to make good choices. But we're given all this information at school and then we're told, now go make something of your life. But if we don't know how to make good and better choices, well, how do we know what we should be making of our lives? But fortunately, we've got the Bible, the Word of God, the roadmap to do life well, the manual for living. And I want us to look at a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 30 today. And this will really form the foundation of the message. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, God speaking to his people says, today. Everyone say today. Amazing thing about that is if you read this passage yesterday, it would still say today. If you read it tomorrow, it will still say today. Essentially what God is saying every day. Today, but every day, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. God basically saying the outcome of your life is simply determined by the choices we make on a daily basis. And so let me give you a few thoughts today to encourage you. Firstly, is that each day is filled with choices to make. There is never a day that goes by that you will not have to make some choices. Some of those choices being potentially life-altering decisions. You know, you may not even realize it, but in the last 2 to 3 hours, you have already made a number of decisions. When you woke up this morning, you had the choice to come to church or stay at home. And many of you, I'm sure, thought about that. Ooh, but tired this morning. It's payday, it's month end. Maybe I need to go out and spend my money. But you made a choice to come to church. Then you had to decide what to wear. I know, ladies, for some of you, that could be a life-altering decision. I know that. Then you had a choice to make as to what you're going to do after church. Are you going to go out for lunch or do you have to prepare lunch before you go to church? Then you had to choose the type of attitude that you would come to church with. Unfortunately, not everyone comes to church with a good attitude each week. Then you had to choose on your way to church while driving whether you were going to use sign language and speak French to the taxi drivers that inevitably will cut you off at some point on the journey. Then you had to make a choice. You had a decision to make whether you would listen to where the car park volunteers instructed you to park. Then you came into the auditorium and you had another choice. The ushers wanted you to sit there, but you wanted to sit there. You had a decision to make. Then you had to choose the level of faith that you would come into the service with. Did you come just for another service because that's what you do at 9 o'clock on a Sunday? Or did you choose to come with an expectant heart? Lord, I choose to receive from you today. I'm believing for the best for my life. Then you had an opportunity to participate in worship. You could have chosen to lift your hands, to open your mouth, or you could have chosen to have your arms folded. Then you had a choice to participate in the offering. It's a decision every week. Then you have a choice, and you have an ongoing choice in the service, to contribute to the atmosphere of the service. As Pastor Chase preached so well last weekend, you have a choice to be responsive, or you can just stare at the person on the platform here. Then you have another choice during the message now, as to whether you're going to be scrolling through your phone or not. Now, I know some of you take notes on your phone, and that's awesome, but some of you pretend to take notes on your phone, and really you're going through Facebook, Instagram, catching up with all the social media. Every now and then you give an amen so people think that you're actually participating. I know how it works. I know. And then at the end of the service, you can choose. Do I respond to Jesus, or do I ignore him for another week? Robert Browning, the British poet, once said that choice is life's business. See, life is never just about chance. So many believe that life is all about chance. Life is determined by where I'm born, which parents I'm born to, the color of my skin when I'm born, the amount of money that I'm born into. And yes, some of those things may play a small part in your life, but those are not the things that determine the outcome of our lives. The outcome of our lives is determined by the choices that we make. Oprah Winfrey once said that, "What I know for sure is this. The big secret in life is that there is no big secret. There's just you, this moment, and a choice." Sometimes we're waiting for that silver bullet in life, that magic thing. Well, there is no magic thing. That's the secret. You've got this moment, and you've got a choice to make. And if we make right choices, the path of our life can be radically altered. Can you say amen to that? Here's another thought. God has given us freedom of choice. God has given us freedom of choice. God says to his people, "Today I have given you the choice." You know, there's an interesting question that is often posed to Christians, and you've probably had someone ask you this before, or at least you've heard someone ask this in the environment that you're in. And the question is, if God is so good, why does he allow suffering in the world? Have you heard that question before? Or if God is so good, why is there evil in the world? And people generally pose that question as a means to justify why they have chosen not to believe in God and why they've chosen not to submit themselves to God's authority. But the reality is that God has given us freedom of choice. And whenever bad choices are made, it inevitably results in suffering and evil in the world. And the truth is that every single one of us has contributed in a way to the suffering that is in the world. The moment we've sinned, we've offended God, we've hurt someone, we have contributed to the evil in the world. And so for God to remove suffering and evil from the world, the first thing he has to do is remove our freedom of choice from us. But God has not created us to be like that. He's created us to have relationship with him. And to have relationship with him, we have to first have the opportunity to choose that relationship with him. Otherwise, God would have made us robots. And he would have pushed our buttons, and then we would have automatically responded exactly the way God wanted us to respond. But God hasn't made us robots. He's given us freedom of choice, so that we can choose life and we can choose the relationship that he desires for us to have with him. But if God were to take suffering and evil away, he would firstly have to take away our freedom of choice. Someone once said in a Bible commentary that I came across, because we're created in the image of God, we have minds to think with, hearts to feel with, and a will to decide with. And God calls us to make right decisions. We're not robots. We can hear God's word, learn God's will, and decide either to obey or to disobey. You know, it's interesting, even in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, after God had blessed Adam and told him to be fruitful and multiply, the very first thing that God gave Adam was choice. He gave him the ability to choose right from wrong. We read in Genesis 2:15 that the Lord God put the man in the Garden of Eden to care for it and work it. The Lord God commanded him, "You may eat the fruit from any tree in the garden." Notice the choice there. "But you must not eat the fruit from the tree which gives the knowledge of good and evil. If you ever eat fruit from that tree, you will die." Essentially, what God said to Adam is the same thing that he says to us. He says, "I created you for relationship. My desire," the Lord says, "is for you to know me and for me to know you. I'm giving you freedom of choice, but with that choice comes the responsibility to choose right. If you choose correctly, it will go well with you. But if you choose incorrectly, unfortunately, sin and suffering will be the byproduct of those decisions." You see, many people believe that freedom of choice means I get to do whatever I want. And that freedom of choice comes with no restrictions or no boundaries. But that is not true, because when you live like this, if you live your life with no rules and no boundaries, there's only one place you will end up, and that's in the chukki, behind bars, with your freedom taken away from you. Isn't that right? They will lock you up for a long time. So freedom of choice does not mean that we have no boundaries. It does not mean that there are no restrictions. We have restrictions in place so that we can keep making good choices and we can have the freedom of choice that God has desired for us. Another thought is this: freedom of choice does not mean free of consequence. Freedom of choice does not mean free of consequence. You know, if I had to sum up the worldview of how most people view life, it would go something like this: it's my life, and I can do with it whatever I want to do. And then some will take that a step further: it's my body, and I can use it however I want, with who I want, how I want, to do whatever I want. And we've been fooled into believing that because God has given us freedom of choice, that we are then free of the consequences of those choices. But the reality is that every single choice in life has consequences attached to it. You know, if I had to wake up one morning and think, you know what, I've been married for 16 years. You know, being with one woman is a bit overrated. You know, I think I need to spice my life up a little bit. And I go out and now I'm going to have an affair with someone. There are consequences associated with that. I'll probably lose my wife. I run the risk of losing my children. I will lose my ministry. I will lose my credibility. And the little money that I have will probably be taken away from me as well. Those are all consequences of that choice. If you make the choice, as some people do, to withhold tax or to not declare all your tax, there are consequences associated with that. Mr. SARS man is going to come knocking on your door. He knows where you live, and he will find you, and he will prosecute you. Maybe that's the word of the Lord for someone here today. There are always consequences for our decisions. If you walk into work tomorrow, and you decide, you know what, I'm fed up with my boss, I'm going to tell him how it is. You go in there, you give him the finger, and you swear at him. He's not going to go, oh, shame. Probably had a rough weekend. No, that's okay. No, there's consequences for that. He's going to show you the door. If you speed on the roads, there are consequences for that. The traffic officer's not going to say, no, I know you drive by faith, not by sight. And let's just forget that. And it doesn't work like that. If you overspend, the bank's not going to say, I know you're a Christian, you go to Rivers Church. I know at your prayer meeting you're going to pray for finances and it'll all be made right. No, they're going to come find you. There is consequences attached to the choices that we make. You know, I read a bizarre story this week about two British guys who, you know, kind of had that carefree attitude that so many people have in life. And they were animal lovers. And they went to a game park in Africa. And they thought, you know what? We want to get up close and personal with the animals. You know, whenever we go on the game drives, we only see them from a distance. And, you know, we want to be more close to the animals. So what they did was they dressed up in a zebra outfit. And then they began to walk among the animals. And it was pretty cool initially. They walked among those other zebras who kind of looked at them and thought, what's going on? They got close to the giraffes. They got close to all the antelope. But unfortunately, they got close to the lions as well. And there were two lions that attacked them in their zebra suit. Fortunately, they got away with their lives. One of the lions immediately grabbed the head of the zebra. Fortunately for them, the head was only stuffed with foam. The other lion grabbed the back end of the zebra and ran away with some of the clothing there. These guys narrowly escaped with their lives, but I think that's how many people live life. We're just going to casually do this. Ha ha, life is all just about having fun. I want to do what I want. Don't anyone tell me any different. Because we live in a way where we believe there are no consequences for the decisions that we make. You know, the Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned against God when they intentionally disobeyed the very clear instruction that God had given them. They made a choice. And then in Genesis 3, verse 16, we see the consequences now. It says, then he, being God, said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. Ladies, you can thank Eve for the fact that there is pain in childbirth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. God saying, these are the consequences for choosing incorrectly. Then he says to Adam, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. God was saying, this is the reality of life. There are consequences for the choices that we make. God was not being unkind to them. God was not being mean. God was not saying that he didn't love them anymore. But he was showing them the sober reality of life. Every choice has consequences associated to it. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be fooled. You cannot cheat God. People harvest only what they plant. Now, that can either be good or bad for our lives, depending on the type of choices that we make. If you always make wrong choices, if you're always making poor choices, unfortunately, your life is going to go down a path that is not good, where there are hurtful and harmful consequences. However, if you begin to make better decisions, if you begin to make good, godly choices, the trajectory of your life will begin to change. Your life will get better. Everything will be more enjoyable because you are making better choices. And so what that also means is at no stage in life can we blame someone else for the outcome of our lives. Because that's what we like to do. We like to find someone to blame for why our lives are the way that they are. Very often we will blame our spouses. Yeah, it's because of my wife. She's such a nag, it's her fault. Or she'll blame me, it's my husband, he's such a pig. And yeah. But don't forget, just step back for a few moments. There was that day when you stood before the altar and you stared into one another's eyes. And you, I love you, I love you. I can't wait to spend the rest of my life. I choose you, you choose me. We choose each other. You chose one another. Nobody forced you to get married. Maybe you should have thought a bit more before you took that step. But now we have to live with the consequences of our choice. If we chose well, that is good. If we didn't choose so well, well, unfortunately, that is the reality of life. Here's another thought. God desires for us to make good choices. Never forget, God's desire is always that we make good choices. We see from that Deuteronomy passage the heart of God. He says, oh, that you would choose life. Know that God is cheering you on to make good choices. God is not trying to cause you to stumble so that you can make bad choices and he can nail you. God's heart is for his people to make good choices, to make better choices than you maybe have in the past. You know, unfortunately, many people feel that life is a bit of a gamble. People feel life is like going to Suncoast Casino on a Saturday night, where you have to choose. It's either red or black, and there's no way of knowing. Okay, I choose red, but then you find out it was actually black. Oh, well, now my life is a mess. Others believe that life is a bit like trying to win the lottery. Only a handful of people ever come out on top. Or people believe life is like betting on a sports team or on the horses, where your outcome is determined by the performance of someone else. But God says, no, life doesn't work like that. He says, I've given you the choice. You get to choose the outcome of your life according to the decisions that you make. And God says, my heart for you is that you would choose correctly. I'm cheering you on. I've given you everything you need to make good choices. You know, God has firstly told us in his word that life is about choices, but then he also gives us the right choices to make. You know, it's a bit like sitting in an exam room. And you are given the exam to write, but then the examiner says, by the way, here's the answers. For you to now get that wrong, you have to intentionally choose to ignore the answers that have been given to you and decide that you know better. Unfortunately, you only find out later that you should have stuck to the answers that were given to you. That's why God's given us his word, the Bible. Every time you read the Bible, you will find answers to life. The reason many of you make poor choices is you don't read the Bible. You don't know what God is saying. But for every situation in life, there are answers in the Word of God. Clear answers. God says you've got to make choices, but I'm giving you the answers to those choices. And then God also gives us His Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us so that when we're on the verge of making a poor choice, there's that little niggle in the back of your head that says you shouldn't be doing this. But again, you have to choose to override that. And many people want to live that way. I don't want to hear the word of God. I don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. I want to do what I want to do. But you fail to realize that there are consequences associated with those choices. 1 Timothy 1 verse 19, Paul writes and he says, cling to your faith in Christ. In other words, hold tightly onto that and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. In other words, they've deliberately, intentionally made a decision that they know is wrong because it contradicts what God has said. And then it says, as a result, and now the consequence of that, in other words, is that their faith has been shipwrecked. You know, I've been in ministry long enough to see that there are always two sides to this. There are many people, hundreds, who've come through our doors here for the first time, whose lives have been messed up, people who've been broken, people who've been damaged by life. They've come in a bit of a mess. But over time, through God's presence in worship, through the teaching of the word, they've begun to make better decisions. They've made better choices than before. And as a result, their life has got better and better and better and better as a result. Then, unfortunately, there are also people in church who've been doing well, but then have begun to make poor decisions. They've begun to make a series of bad decisions. And as a result, they've then come unplugged from church. They've stopped serving. They've stopped attending. Many are not even serving God anymore. I think the two key areas that people begin to make poor choices in will firstly always be the area of relationships, where somehow we believe that we are the exception and God won't apply his same rules to us that he does to everyone else. But I think the second thing as well is when we choose to get offended. It's amazing how many people have been taken out of the race of life because of offense. You see, you can't stop offense from coming your way. There will always be opportunity to get offended. But you have to choose. You have to give permission for that offense to now become part of your life. And unfortunately, when you make that choice, it is very difficult to unmake that choice. We need to be careful what we choose. But God's heart for us is that we would make good choices, that we would not make poor choices, but that we would make better decisions so that our life can keep moving forward. Can you say amen to that? Here's another thought. Choices are never neutral. They always take us somewhere. Choices are never neutral. They always take us somewhere. God said to his people, I've given you the choice between life and death. The choices we make will either lead to life or they will lead to death. When we make right choices, they lead to life. When we make poor choices, they always lead to death. There was a man by the name of Dr. Pierce Harris, and he was a well-known pastor of the First Methodist Church of Atlanta, Georgia, a pretty well-known church in America. And on one particular occasion, he was invited to preach to a group of prisoners in the jail in their community there. And when he arrived there, one of the prisoners got up to introduce Dr. Harris. And the prisoner introducing him said this. He said, several years ago, two boys lived in a town in North Georgia. They went to the same school, played together, and attended the same Sunday school. One dropped out of Sunday school and said that it was sissy stuff. The other boy kept on going. One rejected Christ, the other accepted him. The boy who rejected Christ is making this introduction today. The boy who accepted Christ is the honored preacher who will speak to us today. See, here you had two guys, grew up in the same community, grew up in very similar families, had the same opportunities in life. Yet one ended up in prison, one ended up in ministry. The only difference in their lives was the choices that they made. You know, I think one of the reasons why we often are guilty of making poor choices is because there are often not immediate consequences as a result. So we make a choice, nothing happens, and we think we're okay. You know, how many people in the world have defied God and professed to be atheists and there's no God out there. If there is a God, strike me down with lightning now. And we wait arrogantly. And there's no lightning bolt. So we say, oh, well, clearly there is no God. Now I'm going to use that as justification to keep making even more decisions along this path I'm choosing. You know, how many people are happy to sleep around and, you know, have sex outside of God's design of marriage? And because there's no immediate consequences, we think it's okay. Well, nobody fell pregnant. There were no diseases. You know, there were no other issues. We had a bit of fun. Well, no lightning bolt. It must be okay. And so we justified by making more decisions. You know, how many Christians have stopped reading their Bibles, have stopped attending church regularly? We become like many people, 1 in 3 weeks, 1 in 4 weeks, 1 in 5 weeks, Easter, Christmas Christians. We stop tithing and giving. And we say, well, I'm still blessed. My life is still okay. There's no lightning bolt that came. Ah, it's all cool. We'll just carry on this way. You know, it works a bit like this. If you decide on any particular day, you know what? I'm going to eat like a Viking today. I'm going to have extra portion of cake. I'm going to have 2 extra portions of pudding. I'm going to eat everything I can because I feel like it. And then you eat all that and you think, well, I still look the same. You know, I haven't dropped down dead. I still look the same. It must be okay. But what you don't realize is 2 days later, when you stand on the scale, that Viking ship now comes to dock. And all of a sudden, you are horrified. How did that number get there? I can't understand this. No, that is the delayed consequence of the choice you made a few days ago. You see, people think because there's no immediate consequences that it's okay. Remember, God is a God of grace. God desires for us to turn our lives around and make better decisions. He gives us opportunity. Don't view that because there's no immediate consequence that he's endorsing what we're doing. Mark chapter 14, verse 10. It says, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests to arrange to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money. So he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. When you hear the word Judas, we don't think, oh, nice guy. No, we think betrayer. Judas is regarded by Christians and non-Christians as having committed the greatest act of betrayal of all time. But you know, when Judas arranged with the religious leaders to betray Jesus in exchange for money, I don't think Judas's intention was for Jesus to be crucified. Judas never thought it would end up there. I mean, think about Judas. For most of his life, he'd seemingly made good decisions. He'd made wise choices. He'd positioned his life in such a way that even Jesus saw something on his life. Jesus said, I need this guy as one of my 12. There's something on Judas's life. But the Bible says that he had a bit of a weakness for money. Now, whether that was Judas's sole motivation for betraying Jesus, well, we don't really know. Perhaps he had a political agenda as well. But I wonder perhaps if that betrayal of Jesus didn't go something like this. Where Judas thought, you know what? I do like money. And I do need a little bit of extra money. So I've got a plan. I'm going to choose to betray Jesus to these religious leaders, get some money. But I know it's going to be all right because I've seen how Jesus works. I've seen all the miracles he does. I've seen how he heals people, and I've seen the way he interacts with people. Jesus is not going to let anything happen to him. I'll betray him, but Jesus will just do a miracle. Everyone will fall away, and Jesus will just carry on his merry way. Oh, and by the way, I've made a bit of extra cash on the sideline. But it says in Matthew 27, when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. Oh, what do we care, they retorted. That's your problem. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. Here was a guy who up until that point had made some good choices in life, but then made a series of poor choices. Not realizing the extent of the consequences. Not realizing that our choices are never neutral. They always take us somewhere. It ended up costing him his life, but it ended up costing him his eternal place in heaven as well. You know, there's a sign at a crossroads in a state in America that says, be careful which road you choose. You'll be on it for the next 200 miles. You see, there are some choices in life that will always take us further than we intended. They will always cost us more than we intended to pay. But the outcome of our lives is directly impacted by the choices we make. The Lord says to us, today I've given you the choice of life and death. Oh, that you would choose life so that both you and your descendants might live. Can you say amen to that?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.